Hello and welcome to this short audio version of the service for Sunday the 20th of December. This service will be different from what you're used to in that it is a carol service. Therefore you will hear a couple of well-known carols being played as well as a couple of passages of scripture that are associated with Christmas being read. So as we approach God now in worship, let us do so first of all by coming before him in prayer. Let us all pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, we do so thankful for giving us this day and for enabling us to worship you. What a privilege it is, O Lord, to pause from our normal day-to-day activities and be able to reflect upon who you are and all that you have done for us. Here we are, O Lord, just a few days from Christmas, the time when we reflect upon how your Son, Jesus Christ, left his rightful place at your right hand and came into this world as a baby, where he was entrusted to the care of a young couple who, like us, were just ordinary folk. Heavenly Father, we thank you that he did not simply enter this world to provide us with a perfect example of how we should live and treat each other. We thank you that he didn't simply enter this world to be known by people living in Palestine in the first century. We thank you that he came to save his people from their sins, people from every tribe and nation and every generation who humbly put their faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins. We thank you, O Lord, for how Christmas reminds us that through Christ we can receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with all of our imperfections to worship you. By the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us, we pray. Focus our minds now and capture our hearts so that our worship of you this day is wholehearted and acceptable in your sight. Hear this our prayer, for it is in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. And now we turn to our first lesson, which is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, where we will begin reading at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen, and we thank God for this reading from his truth. And now we turn to our first carol, which is the well-known carol, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
And now we turn to our second reading, which is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, where we will begin reading from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we end our reading there at verse 7. And thank God for this reading from his truth. And now we're going to hear the second carol, which is Once in Royal David's City.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable.
See?
And now we turn to our third lesson, which is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And we end our reading there at verse 12. And thank God once again for this reading from his truth. The story of the wise men travelling from afar to find the baby Jesus and give him some gifts is so well known to us that the Christmas story wouldn't be complete without it. Indeed, whenever nativities are performed, the three wise men always make an appearance at some point in the story. But as you may have heard me say in the past, being familiar with biblical stories can mean we miss important information contained in them, or we can miss the main point altogether. So for a few moments now, I would like to consider this well-known story in a bit more detail. As soon as we begin reading this gospel account by Matthew, the wise men, the principal characters in it, immediately come to our attention, and as we follow them, it soon becomes apparent that Matthew is drawing our attention to the wisdom of the wise men. As Matthew tells us, after Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, these men suddenly appeared, as if out of nowhere, in Jerusalem, inquiring as to where they could find the one who had been born King of the Jews. Matthew tells us that they were Magi, also known as wise men from the east, and nothing more. We don't know their country of origin, although it is believed that they came from the region of what is now modern-day Iran, and nor do we know how many of them there were. It is solely due to the fact that they gave three gifts to Jesus that it is assumed there were three of them. All we do know is that they spotted an unusual star in the night sky, recognized its significance, and travelled to Jerusalem in search of the one that this star proclaimed had been born. From this information, we can surmise that these men were astronomers who studied and understood the cosmos. With regards to the star itself that they saw, we are not told much about it, so we don't know where in the sky it appeared or anything about its features. But like all the other bits of information of this story that were left in the dark over, it's not important. What is, though, is the fact that these men, who were non-Jewish, were spoken to by God, in a language that they could discern, and were guided by him as they searched for the King of the Jews, the Messiah, who had been born into the world. Bearing in mind that Matthew wrote this gospel account for a largely Jewish audience, there is no small touch of irony here in that these wise men understood what many of the Jews hadn't. So the title Wise Men is more appropriate than we might at first think. Wisdom is defined as the correct application of knowledge. And these men were not wise simply because they were able to correctly interpret the meaning of the star, but rather their wisdom was in how they responded to what they had learnt. In recognizing the significance of the star, they set out to find Jesus, the King of the Jews, and worship him. Even though they were non-Jewish, they realized that this was the appropriate thing to do. That, however, was no small undertaking, given that they probably lived around 1,000 miles from where Christ was born. Neither did they have all the answers as such, because they didn't know exactly where they would find him. But these things didn't deter them, so they set off on their epic journey to find and pay homage to Christ. You know, as we consider these wise men and their response to Christ, I don't know about you, but it certainly challenges me. Their journey to find and worship Christ had the potential to be very dangerous. Crossing that distance with their valuable gifts, they would have been easy prey for robbers who watched out for unsuspecting travellers. Aside from the expense of the gifts themselves, the cost of provisions for the journey itself would have been considerable. And then there was the time that it was going to take them, not only to get there, but also to return home. A conservative estimate is that it would have taken them at least 40 days to get from where they lived to Bethlehem. But that doesn't account for days when they rested and didn't travel at all, as well as the time they spent in Jerusalem. So in all probability, the complete journey there and back would have taken them at least 4 to 5 months. This illustrates how committed they were to find and worship Christ. I wonder, though, if we profess to have put our faith in Christ, do we have a similar level of commitment to him? Could it be said of us that we follow Christ regardless of the cost to ourselves, be that with regards to our reputation, our time, or our finances? Could it be said that we are committed to follow Christ come what may? As we journey through life, is worshipping Christ by honouring him with our attitude, speech and actions the focus of our lives? Or are we guilty of being what could be called convenience Christians, in that we only follow Christ when it suits us, and it certainly doesn't cost us anything? Are we only interested in Christ because of what he offers us? If so, then we are fooling no one but ourselves. These wise men displayed their wisdom by virtue of the fact that they recognized Christ for who he really was, and they responded to him in the only way that was appropriate. However much it took, they worshipped him. I wonder, can the same be said of us? So, the wisdom of the wise men is something that Matthew draws our attention to, but that's not all, because as we follow this story, we come across another principal character, namely Herod, who could be called the villain of the piece. And as we read about him, Matthew brings into focus the contrast between his response to the news of Christ's birth and that of the wise men. They came to find and worship Christ, whereas Herod sought to find and kill him. And this illustrates the foolishness of Herod. As we know, the wise men made their way to Jerusalem because, after all, as the capital of the Jewish state, that is where you would expect to find the King of the Jews. They didn't, however, go straight to Herod. Instead, it seems that they went around telling people they had seen a star and asking where they could find him. As verse 3 tells us, Herod soon heard about this, and he, along with the city, was disturbed. Or to put it another way, they were uneasy. The news that reports about the birth of the King of the Jews were circulating in the general population troubled Herod greatly, because he feared that it had the potential to spark a rebellion against him. You see, Herod was an unpopular ruler, not least because he was non-Jewish and because of his brutal tactics at suppressing any threats, real or imagined, to his rule. When it came to staying in power, he was ruthless. He murdered one of his wives, three of his sons, a mother-in-law, a brother-in-law, an uncle, and others whom he suspected of having plotted against him. Given his reputation, it is easy to see why the population in Jerusalem were disturbed as well by the news of Christ's birth. They knew that Herod would see this birth as a threat to his rule, and he would stop at nothing to eliminate it. One can imagine that they would not even want to be seen talking to these strangers, asking questions, in case one of Herod's spies reported them, and they then became one of his latest victims. Herod's foolishness was that he saw Christ as a threat to his way of life, and therefore he rejected him. This was because he misunderstood the role of the King of the Jews. Herod may not have been or may not have been Jewish, but he knew enough about the Jewish faith to know that God had promised them a Messiah to save his people. Because as Matthew tells us in verse 4, when he heard the reports about what the wise men were saying and asking, he called in the Jewish religious leaders and asked them where the Christ was to be born. But he, along with most of his Jewish subjects, thought the Messiah was going to be a political or military leader who would liberate his people from foreign rule and domination, which is why he saw the existence of Christ as a threat. Incidentally, what we can easily miss in this story is the fact that neither Herod nor the religious leaders doubted the authority of the prophecy of Micah about where Christ was to be born. Herod had no doubt that Christ had been born, but he saw him as a threat and sought to eliminate him. Now, whilst none of us would want to be compared with Herod, given his brutality and ruthlessness, there are many people in our world today who share one similarity with him, in that they too view Christ as a threat to their way of life, and therefore they reject him. Like Herod, they will not sanction the idea of submitting to him, because they know that whilst Christ accepts everyone as they are, he doesn't leave them as they are. They know that submitting to the rule of Christ will require them to change certain things in their lives, which they view as too valuable or too enjoyable to forgo. So because they see Christ as a threat, they reject him. Such a belief, however, is the foolishness of human wisdom, and it betrays a total lack of understanding about what or about the reality of submitting to Christ's rule. In verse 6 of our reading, the prophet Micah describes the Messiah as the shepherd of his people, and therein we get a wonderful picture. Set in the context of a Middle Eastern shepherd who leads as opposed to drives his sheep, it provides us with the image of someone who guards, guides, protects, and provides for his flock. Someone who looks after and nurses back to health the sick and the injured. Someone who lovingly goes after and retrieves those who have wandered off and, separated from the flock, have become disorientated and lost. Someone who will stand between them and any predator. Someone who will lay down his life for them. As our shepherd, Christ willingly took on and defeated the greatest threat to humanity, the curse of sin, namely death. He laid down his life so that through faith in him, we might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So you see, Christ is a threat to no one. Instead, he can be the saviour of anyone. So as we approach Christmas this year, how have you responded to Christ? Have you, like the wise men, bowed down before him? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Or have you, like Herod, seen him as a threat and rejected him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how the wise men recognized who Jesus was and worshipped him. And we pray, Lord, that as Christmas approaches, we would do likewise. that we would not see him as a threat and reject him, but, Lord, that we would submit our lives to him. O Lord, that we would make him our shepherd and allow him to guide us, lead us throughout life, so that, Lord, come life's end, we might have eternal life with you in heaven. Amen. And now for our closing carol, which is the well-known carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. May the Lord bless you and those you love this Christmas. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.